The Winter Olympics have finally come to an end, CPAC is finished, and the NRA is going to war. Welcome to Politics with Poucher, I'm your host, Nicholas Poucher. So the Winter Games have finally come to a close with the United States finishing 4th place overall in the medal count with 23 total medals. More importantly though, the North has actually opened an invitation to begin talks with the United States. So let's see where this could go. So now that the Olympics are over, the question is there anything that can really be gained out of the games being hosted in South Korea? And the answer to that is maybe. As I said earlier, North Korea has invited the United States to engage in talks. While that's very vague and coming from an unstable state like North Korea, who knows what that could mean? Could it be talks in regards to nuclear weapons? Most likely not. It's most likely an attempt to appear to be making concessions while trying to really just advance the regime. While it's even a large step for the North Korean leaders to offer such an invitation, it's kind of a dead offer. I mean, 65 years ago, the Korean War ended, and we haven't really seen much of a change. I mean, is it really possible that some sports could change the course of North and South Korea? It's unlikely. With the nuclear weapons program increasing rapidly, and Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un clashing, it would be tough for anything substantial to come out of this. The North Koreans are very tough negotiators. They don't like to give up anything. However, they want everything. Not to mention that previous summits held in 2000 and 2007 really didn't do anything. It even appeared that before the meeting in 2000, the meeting was purchased for $500 million, which God knows what that could have done for the North Koreans. The most likely thing to come from all this is some talks back and forth, some possible concessions coming from the North, but in exchange for probably an unrestricted nuclear program, which everybody knows the United States just is not going to put up with. The question is this time different? Will anything be different from the previous talks in 2007? Will the North be willing to give anything up, or even possibly take restrictions on their nuclear program in order to try to unite Korea? Or even just to have a place at the table and maybe even the UN? Is that possible? If we look at history, the obvious answer would be no. However, with the current state of affairs, it wouldn't hurt to at least try to engage in talks with the North Koreans. With that being said, let's take a look at what happened at CPAC this weekend. So for those of you that don't know, CPAC is the Conservative Political Action Conference, and it is one of the biggest gatherings of conservatives and conservative experts in the entire country. And as a college student, this was my first time attending CPAC, and from watching the mainstream media and all the information put out, you would assume that a large conservative gathering, well, this must be all people that are 55 and up, all white people, that is all that CPAC is. But I was very surprised when I showed up to CPAC and found out that, wow, probably close to 60-70% of the people there were high school students, college students, recent college graduates, probably under 30 years of age, which was absolutely shocking to me. See, the mainstream media doesn't want you to believe that there are actually young conservatives in this country. They would have you believe that all the younger generation, all the millennials, have been educated at university and are therefore liberal activists. But that's just not the case. So there were many issues brought up at CPAC across a variety of experts, panel discussions, and speeches. Some of the most notable things were Dana Loesch and Wayne LaPierre from the NRA giving absolutely fiery speeches, which I'll get into in the next segment when we go into the current state of the NRA. But in addition to that, another big focus was the opioid crisis, which was brought up by not only Eric Bolling, who lost his son to an opiate overdose, but also President Trump. Another topic brought up at CPAC this year was the FBI. Not only the deep state corruption in the FBI, but also the failure of action. In the wake of the Parkland shooting, which was talked about numerous times, we've come to find out that the FBI had multiple tips that they simply failed to act on, which in the heat of this gun control debate, you have to ask, do I want to hand my guns over to the government when they won't even act on tips that we give them? I mean, come on, they say see something, say something. Well, multiple people said something, and nothing was done. So in addition to this, you have Sheriff Scott Israel down in Broward County touting his great leadership in his department, but one of his deputies decides while this madman is massacring students, he's going to just sit outside and let it happen. Either that was his choice, or that's the policy that Sheriff Israel put in place. Either way, it's a breakdown of the system. And in addition to this, we come to find out CNN reports that there were three other deputies that posted up outside rather than going in and putting an end to this. You have to ask yourself, was that the action they chose to take, or was that the policy that Sheriff Israel put in place? It took the Coral Springs Police Department getting there, going, what the hell is going on? There is somebody shooting students up inside, and you are sitting by doing absolutely nothing. So this government and the left that claims less guns, we shouldn't have guns, we need to take the guns, we can protect you. Well, it appears they can't protect us. They decided to sit outside while our students are getting massacred. There is just absolutely no question this was a complete and total breakdown of government at all levels from top to bottom. And this is exactly why conservatives, including those that spoke at CPAC, believe in small, limited government. I mean, they can't get their act together. They can't get anything right. And in addition to this, Trump, in his speech at CPAC, brings up that we need to protect these schools more. You see, we have banks that are protected more than our students. So, do we value money more than life? I mean, these are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. So those were a few points brought up at CPAC this year. And if you were unable to make it or have never been, I strongly encourage you to try to go next year. It is a great time, and you really do learn a lot from conservative experts. With that being said, let's take a look at what's happening at the NRA and how they're handling the backlash from the far left in response for this tragic shooting. So in response to this shooting, the left-wing media and the far left decide that no, it's not that the shooter was mentally ill, it's not that the FBI failed, it's not that the Broward Sheriff's Department under Sheriff Israel didn't do their job. It's not that they went to the shooter's house 39 times and yet no action was taken. It's actually the NRA's fault that some lunatic went and shot up a school. See, what the left can't seem to comprehend is that 100 million people in this country own firearms. And the NRA is made up of 5 million Americans. The NRA is not some secret organization, some foreign conspiracy. The NRA is funded by United States citizens that want a group to advocate on behalf of them. When they see these left-wing politicians like Maxine Waters come in and Senator Feinstein come in and advocate that maybe we don't need a Second Amendment, or maybe we should extremely limit the types of weapons that can be purchased. All of a sudden, gun owners are willing to contribute money in order to make a point. So, if you get all your news from the mainstream media, CNN, MSNBC, you would probably believe that the NRA must have a absolutely massive budget when it comes to lobbying Republicans. I mean, they must just throw endless amounts of cash towards their campaigns. And Republicans don't actually support the Second Amendment. The NRA forces them to support the Second Amendment, right? Well, since 1998, so over the course of 20 years, the NRA has spent a little over $4.8 million on lobbying, which, I mean, almost $5 million, that seems like quite a sum of money. But considering over $1 billion was spent last election cycle, it's relatively insignificant. I mean, if you look at during this upcoming election cycle, the 2018 election cycle, since this election cycle has started, the Carpenters and Joiners Union is the top donor, and it's a liberal association, and they've donated almost $14 million already to fund liberal campaigns. And that's in a little over a year. $14 million in a little over a year. And the NRA has spent $5 million over the course of 20 years. But the NRA must be controlling all these politicians. Anytime the Republicans vote to uphold the Second Amendment, it's not because that's what they believe. It's not because they support the Constitution. It's because the NRA purchased their vote, right? Well, when policies come out that support these labor unions, specifically the Carpenters and Joiners Union, the top donor so far this election cycle, you don't see everybody coming out saying the Democrats must have been purchased by the Carpenters and Joiners Union, even though they've spent almost three times in 1 year what the NRA has spent over 20 years. I mean, it's just a ridiculous assertion that these Republicans don't actually support the Second Amendment. It's just the NRA telling them what to do. Give me a break. So now that we've established that the NRA donates a relatively small amount of money for elections, let's look at who the liberals are blaming for recent shootings. The NRA. They blame the NRA for supporting the Second Amendment. See, when the left is faced with having to use logic, reason, and needing to develop a real substantial argument using facts, they simply fall short. So what does the left do when they fall short? They take the easy way out. They find a scapegoat. And who have they chosen this time? The NRA. The National Rifle Association of America. Doesn't that just sound terrible? An association supporting the right to own guns. After all, it's not the person. It wasn't a person that shot up a school. It was the gun's fault. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. The left portrays the NRA as having blood on their hands, as if they supported this guy. The only role the NRA had in this was providing training to JROTC members on how to fire guns safely. I mean, the NRA has done more help in this situation than anything else. It's absolutely absurd. So in the wake of all this, now the social justice warriors have taken to Twitter, as always, to call for change. And this time it's hashtag boycott NRA, which I kind of find funny because if you didn't support something in the first place, I'm not quite sure how you can boycott it. But anyway, companies and corporations have bowed to these left-wing extremists, and companies such as Avis, Budget Rent-A-Car, MetLife, Hertz, Delta Airlines, United Airlines have cut their ties with the NRA. They have decided that they will no longer offer discounts to NRA members. And the left now claims victory. They made a difference. But the reason that people joined the NRA wasn't for a 10% discount when they rent a car or a promotion with Delta Airlines. Americans joined the NRA exactly for this reason. The left trying to take their guns away from them. And they claim victory as if they've done something, when in reality, they've just fired up this group of people. I think it's hilarious. I've seen more people joining the NRA since this hashtag boycott NRA has gone around than ever before. The far left is doing more to help the NRA than hurt it. And now for my closing comments. I'd just like to say, in response to this boycott NRA nonsense, that maybe we should go join the NRA if you're not already a member. Or maybe consider making a contribution. I mean, when somebody tries to take your rights away, it definitely deserves a response. And what better response than to make a contribution to the NRA? Make a real difference. And with that, I would just like to give a huge shout out to the ACU and Matt Schlapp for putting on a great CPAC 2018, and I look forward to attending next year. And that's all. I hope you guys join me next time for Politics with Poucher.